We are the Heart of Christ Church, and we know that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to that, we have given our lives to Christ, because as He has given us life, we know that that is what we must do, because it's what He did. It's who He is. He loved the Father, He loved us, and He went where? He went from heaven to earth to hell, and now He's back in heaven. Can we get an amen? That's some going. And in that too, may we find ourselves going out into this world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to light, not necessarily with our words, but with our life. And if we have to, then we speak. Amen? And in that, we are going to move into the 8th chapter, the book of Mark, continuing in our teaching through the gospel here. And we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through 26. Now, I'm going to break it up into a couple of pieces. But today, I want us to understand the gospels. As we read the gospels, they're teaching us that Jesus Christ is the Christ. He is very God Himself. He is the suffering servant. He is the Lion of Judah. When we think about what is happening in the gospels, there's so much that's pointing to the fact that He is our Savior. But within the gospels, Jesus is also teaching us some much deeper truths that are then fleshed out throughout the rest of the New Testament. So today, again, we're working on this. What's the one big idea that I want you to get out of this? You already know Jesus is the Christ. Can I get an amen, church? But now, what is He trying to show us as the Christ that we need to be in our lives and how we need to walk with Him? From the first chapter, or first verse in the 8th chapter, let us read, "For thus saith the Lord. In those days, when there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And His disciples answered Him, Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And He was asking them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And He directed the people to sit down on the ground and take the 7 loaves. He gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to His disciples to serve to them. And they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish. And after He had blessed them, He ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and He sent them away." Again, here we see the Gospels that are pointing to us and showing us that Jesus is the Christ, who is the only one who's going to be able to satisfy all these people who are longing for something, that have a need, and they're in a desolate place, and you cannot supply it because there's no physical way of being able to supply it. Who is the only one who can supply our need in our times of desperation? Who is the only one who is there with the right judgments, with the hope that we need, with what comes our way? He knows we can't take care of it, but He can take care of us. Who is that one? Jesus the Christ. And isn't it amazing? Because the disciples already knew this. He had already fed another group. And here they are in a desolate place. And Jesus is saying, they need food. Well, what are we going to do? Why didn't they look at their master and say, oh, what are you going to do now? In anticipation. How many of us find ourselves in that same place when all the stuff is coming at us? We look at them and say, oh, what am I going to do? It ain't about you. All this stuff that's coming at us is about Him. We need to understand that. Are your eyes open? Are you looking for Him, or are you looking for the things of the world? And how many of us find ourselves looking for the things of the world when we need to put our eyes on Jesus Christ? This week, I'm not kidding, I just told Pete earlier, he said, how was your week? I said, oh man, it was busy. I had one of the fullest weeks I've ever had. And then I told him this. I said, I'm telling you right now, I spent no less than, and you can ask that lady right there, I spent no less than 14 hours on the phone talking to y'all. 14 hours this week. I logged them because I wanted to see how many hours I spent on the phone talking with y'all. And I'm talking people, because I'm talking folks who are outside of our physical being. I'm talking to folks who are part of you. Folks who are calling me because we told you to call me, and I'm there for you. Because that's what we're about. The heart of Christ reaches out. Can I get an amen? Love God, love others, and go. And I'm telling you, over 14 hours on the telephone counseling folks. 14 hours of people looking for something in this world, and they finally pick up that little thing that weighs 6 ounces, and they start calling God. Of course, they're calling Pastor Rich, but they don't realize who's going to answer on the other end. Because I ain't coming in my power. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? Because if we go looking properly, if we go looking into the face of Jesus Christ, who are we coming with? We're coming with the power of Him who is able to feed everybody whatever they need, to sustain, to provide, and to give them the victory over that thing which holds them back. Can I get an amen? But what do we do in our world? What do we do in our world? Let's pick back up in the Scriptures. We're going to go from verse 10 through 12. And immediately, now remember, He sent the people away. So immediately He entered the boat with His disciples. So they're leaving the area where they were and came to the district of Dalmanutha. Okay? I'll get it. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with Him, seeking from Him a sign from heaven to test Him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Lord, if you just show me. He already has. How many of us are looking back and saying, this is where God has brought me? How many of you have an Ebenezer? Does anybody in this congregation know what an Ebenezer is? An Ebenezer is the name of a pillar that was set up by Jacob. Joseph. It was set up by Joseph in the wilderness because he said, "Thus far has the Lord been with me." We need to remember, each and every one of us needs to set up Ebenezers. Well, Pastor Rich, what's your Ebenezer? I love this because I wear them proudly. Well, that one's not there. I got to do this to do that. I got them right there, right there, right there. Every time I look in the mirror, I see one of my Ebenezers. Actually, there's three of them, but they're one type of thing, my tattoos. They are part of my Ebenezer because I look at that and I can see what God has brought me out of. Can I get an amen, church? Every one of us has that thing in our lives, some of those things that we can remember. Thus far hath the Lord brought me. He has given us signs. Are our eyes open? Are we seeing the 5,000 being fed, the 4,000 being fed? Are we remembering where He has brought us through the desert places where there was no sustenance and all of a sudden God's there and we find ourselves in peace and rest and comfort and health and healing and everything is good? Yeah, but it's horrible now. No kidding. You put yourself there. We all have to realize there is nothing that comes against us that is not common unto man. Can I get an amen, church? And when we find ourselves there, let us remember, we sang the song, He did not bring us to this place to harm us, but to burn off our dross and to refine our gold as much refined gold. You're in this place. You're going through this thing, not because God hates you, but because God loves you. And He knows if He doesn't give you a little bit of hardship, you're just going to allow this thing to fester and fester and fester in your life for time immortal until we die. And then the question is, are you saved? Well, the reality is, lest you see what He's doing and begin working with Him, you're not going to know you're saved. But I can guarantee you, when we start stopping, when we stop looking for the sign and realize the sign is in you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will then stop asking for a sign, because you are that sign to the world. Your life changed. Now, how many of you in this place, how many of you out there are perfect? No, not one. But how many of us are a work in progress? Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you right now, every person in Christ Jesus is a work in progress. I get so tired, you know, as a pastor. How many of you listen to other pastors? Yeah, I do. I have several good pastors that I listen to. Every now and then I'll turn on one that I don't like, because I need to hear some of the things that are being said out there in the world. And I'll listen to these guys, and everything comes up roses when you're in Jesus Christ, doesn't it? You never have another problem in your life. Everything goes well. There's no struggle. Nobody calls you names. At work, everybody loves you and works with you. And just, you know, you are sliced bread, cinnamon toast for everybody. If that's the case, I need to have a talk with you. Because you're lying to yourself, and so is everybody else around you. Jesus never said we would not have trouble. In fact, He said in this life, you shall have trouble, didn't He? Because we live in a world of sin. And you and I need to understand that God has a different work here, and He has a different way, and He wants us to see that way. Do we get it all the time? Do we figure it out right away? No, and God knows that. Can I prove it? Yeah, let's read on. Let's read on. From verse 13. So Jesus is done. He never really answers them other than you're not going to get a sign. And then He leaves. He says, leaving them, He again embarked and went away to the other side. The other side of what? The other side of the sea. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have any more than one loaf in the boat with them. And He was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And they said to Him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to Him, 7. And He was saying to them, do you not yet understand? And then He shuts up. You know, normally when Jesus says that to His disciples, He then gives them the explanation, doesn't He? Does He do that here? Absolutely not. Why? Because they were so caught up in themselves and the things that they felt they were responsible to do, they weren't thinking about who they were with and who was with them and what He was capable of. How many of us find ourselves there quite a lot? I want you all to understand, we need to begin looking at things a whole lot differently. In our world, you will have troubles, and they are going to come at you and me on an everyday basis. That's just life. How many of you are living that life? Yeah, If you are alive today, that's the way it is. But we also know, wait a minute, I have seen, I have heard, I have tasted the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and I cannot walk away from that. How many of you love it when it's your birthday and you know you're getting a loaf of bread from Miss Lynn? My wife gives friendship bread to all our congregation on their birthdays. I have been told that some of you will fight with your spouses, brothers, and sisters because it's my bread. In fact, I was told by one family that they gave it to the person whose birthday it was and they didn't tell anybody else and hid it in their bedroom for 3 days before the rest of the family found out it was there. It's amazing to me. We'll hoard it, we'll hide it, we'll covet it, but when we need to remember, we forget. Jesus Christ does not forget. He is there. Are we seeing Him? Are we anticipating Him? Are we calling upon Him? All Jesus was talking about here was the fact that here's these Pharisees that came at Him. And this is the leaven that He was speaking about, that this stuff is going to poison us. You know, how many of you are listening to the rumors of the wars, rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and all this stuff that's out there? And, oh, it's coming, it's coming. The markets are going to collapse and all this stuff. Hey, praise Jesus, make it happen, because that means we're in the end times. And that means Jesus is coming back. Ain't that what we're here for? Isn't it amazing how we find ourselves depleted in hope when we have all the hope in the world? In fact, we have all the hope of the universe. Not just the galaxy, the universe. Everything that is. Because God is before it, and God is after it, and God is completely through it. And He's here for us. Dust on a little rock that He created called earth. And we are His prized possession. Do you see it? What do you see? In fact, the title of today's sermon is, Do You See Anything? Where did I get that from? Well, let's read on. From verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored Him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, He brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, He asked him, Do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. And again, he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, Do not even enter the village. What do you see? Do you see anything? How many of us are this blind man walking in life when all this stuff comes at us? We can't see anything but this thing that's in front of us, but we keep forgetting that we have a holy God who is above and beyond, and we need to look, what does it say? Intently. That means you've got to He is the securer of our future. He is the prosperity of our lives. Now, I don't preach His prosperity gospel. That's as close as I get. Because He is that prosperity. He is our life. He is believe that truth. Wow. I know I'm yelling. But y'all know I do that on a regular basis when I'm pumped up on the Lord. Because that's the question. Do we see And just like that, we're back online. Because you don't look at your circumstance. You don't look at the things that are hanging around. You don't look at what's going on in the world. You look at the one who's in charge of the world, who is our power, who is our strength, who is our help. Do you see anything? In other words, start looking intently. I think it's amazing because Jesus, who is the great healer, who is the creator of all things, nothing was created that has not been created through him because it's all for him. And that means you and I. And when we think about that, here's this guy, you know, the creator of everything. He touches his eyes and he should have been healed, was he? How many of us are in that place in life? And Jesus says, would you concentrate on what I'm doing? Because if you concentrate on what I'm doing, you will see my face. And all of a sudden it went from, I see these looks like trees, but they must be men because they're walking around. You know, I can see dimly now as through a mirror. Oh, boy, there's a thought coming at us. But the day will come when we will see plainly, as we will see him face to face. And that's how you and I need to look into this life. We need to look intently into Christ Jesus, purposefully into Christ Jesus, because as we do, we will see the things for what they are, and then we'll be able to discern where our lives are and what measures we're supposed to take. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the roads that we're going to have to walk are not going to be easy roads. Can I get an amen? But we won't walk it alone, because Jesus is right there with us. He is our hope. He is our sustainer. He is our provision. And he will see us through to the other side. And how many of us are looking at the other side, being the other side of this thing we're stuck in? Folks, that's not the other side. The other side is eternity. When we finally close our eyes here and we open our eyes in heaven, where are we going to be? Well, I like to ask that another way. When we close our eyes, when we die here on this side of things, where are we going to open our eyes? Because all of us, every one of us, every human being on this planet, everyone who ever was, who is, or will be, will answer this question. When you die, where will you go? Because eternity is waiting for every one of us. It's either an eternity of damnation in hell, or it's an eternity in life with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? The difference is, where are you looking intently? I'm not talking lukewarm. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, you are lukewarm. In other words, yeah, I'm going to play at church. I'm going to stick around a little bit. I'm going to do the righteous thing. I went to church on Sunday. Well, I watched pastor this Sunday. Well, I prayed. Did you read your Bible? Yeah, I looked at it and it said Holy Bible. We got to get real with who we are and who he is. Can I get an amen, church? Do you see anything? Well, number one, you're not going to see anything if you're not plugged in. All you're going to see is the longing for something that makes you feel good. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, that's what they all wanted. You have to prove to us, outside of the things you're already doing, how many of you can tell me, how many of you out there can tell me, this past week, did God do something in your life? I can guarantee you right now, if you are in Christ Jesus, he did more than one something. He has been there every day, every moment. The question is, do you see anything? We've got to start looking with our eyes open, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, and listening with our spiritual ears. Because I'm telling you right now, the days are evil. So therefore, live as wise, not foolish. And get not drunk on much wine, but be filled with the Spirit, that we may be able to test and see the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Because only when we look intently will we find these things. And to all you folks out there who are suffering, you're going through some stuff right now, please hear these words. God is not allowing you to go through it to hurt you or to harm you. He's simply helping you to burn off the dross that you may be refined as much fine gold, because he loves you and he wants you in heaven perfect, whole and wholly his. But he wants that reflection here, now, in front of our world. Because it doesn't mean anything to the world if we're all happy and everything's going good. What means to this world is when we're going through the tough stuff, where do we turn? Who do we see? Are you seeing anything? Let us pray. Father God, we open our eyes to you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to see as you've just shown us here. We know what you've done. We don't need another sign. We simply need to understand what we're going through now and look intently and focus on you. And then not go back to the thing that has separated us from you, but to take another direction and to walk this life correctly with you and in you. Bless us this day, O Lord, with true vision to see your holy way. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.